Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Kimber Lovett Minkini. And say, I don't know that the two of us have recorded together solo before.
I don't think they have ever let us solo record before. Maybe there's a reason for it, but I'm really excited that you get the two of us today because it's going to be fun.
I'm excited too. And I feel like I always learn. I love having conversations with you. We've been chatting a lot recently. And so I'm glad that we get to do that right here on the podcast.
Me too.
Well, this is a fun topic because you and I have been talking about this a lot. And we actually had this conversation. We started it in the fall and got just a lot of feedback that a lot of people were really resonated with the topic. And so we were like, hey, this is an episode where we could both use just digging into this conversation a little bit more and getting a little bit more tactical. So we are diving into imposter syndrome today, right? Which is one that I hear a lot about. And a quote comes to mind when we say like that, which is deeply personal is also universal. And I think this is that one that we don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
And when you do, you're like, oh my God, me too, girl.
Yes. I completely agree with that. And I'm finding myself selfishly needing this topic this week because I am leveling up the talent we're attracting in our businesses. I am leveling up the opportunities that I'm feeling more qualified to ask for. And I'm finding myself visiting this feeling of imposter on a regular basis right now. I'm feeling it as a leader. I'm feeling it as someone that's growing. Selfishly for me, this is a episode I need really badly. And, you know, we talked about this last time, but that imposter syndrome was actually created in 1978 by Pauline Clarence and Dr. Suzanne Imes. And they were basically studying imposter phenomenon in high-achieving women and the dynamics and therapeutic intervention of that. And that was actually in 1978. But now there have been all these other studies that have been done, including one that was actually done by the American Psychological Association. Ashley Abramson did it in 2020, where she realized through her research, 82% of people feel and face imposter syndrome and struggle with it at some point in their life. So if you're listening this today,
and I think the other 18% just haven't realized it
yet. I completely agree. Maybe they just don't have a word for it yet. But 82%, like,
they need our authenticity and vulnerability episode.
Yeah, we'll go back to that first. 82%. So if you're listening to this, chances are you either don't know you have it or you have faced this at some point in time in your life. And so Kimber and I were talking about how it would be really nice to walk through some really good tactical steps on how to overcome imposter syndrome, how to overcome that feeling of maybe not feeling worthy or feeling deserving or feeling like you're ready yet for the next opportunity or the next area of growth in your life. So we're going to get real tactical with you today, and we're going to talk about the seven different ways you can overcome imposter syndrome and create more growth and opportunity in your life faster, which I'm super pumped about.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I think it's often, right, while it started out as being identified in high-achieving women in the 70s, it is often, right, what is being experienced by high-achieving individuals, that they're going to be found out, unmasked, that somebody's going to figure out that they are in a room that they really don't deserve to be in. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot of times when you're leveling up, when you're pushing into spaces that are challenging, right, like you're learning something new or you're putting your skills to work in a new way, which we know a lot of our empire builders are doing that on a regular basis. This is when this shows up the most. So I'm excited to, on this episode, get really tactical about ways that you can push through it, because it's often what might be holding you back from like taking that plunge into the next exciting opportunity in your life.
I love that. Yes, I totally agree. So the first thing we want to do, or step one, is we want to learn the facts. And with any negative or anxiety-ridden emotion, one of the best ways to manage imposter feelings is to actually address the distortions that are contributing to those. And so you can ask yourself the question of what facts support you deserving to be in that role. And so when you're feeling like it's an imposter syndrome situation, for me, I'm saying, what training have I done? What accomplishments have I had? What facts support me actually in asking for this opportunity? And get out of the emotion and into the reality of where you are in your current situation. And that really helps you monitor your inner dialogue. And a simple exercise might actually be you just asking yourself right now, how would you support a friend who minimizes their own accomplishments and then apply that same thing to you. So if I had a friend and Kimber's over here and she's putting herself down or feeling like, I don't really deserve this, or I don't think I can ask for that, or I don't think that I'm ready for this role yet, I would turn to Kimber and say, Kimber, you have done all of these things. Come on. Let's go, girl. Like, you've done all these things. You are so deserving of this next opportunity. Look at all the things you have accomplished and all the goals you have achieved that qualify for you this role. So I encourage you to talk to yourself as you would a friend in that same situation, because my guess is you're going to be that person's hype man or hype woman more so sometimes than you are going to be for yourself. So I think it's a really good exercise to kind of get out of your own body and into how you would support somebody else to help you accomplish that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, even in this time, you know, a lot of us are in the real estate industry and we think about facts and value and really helping to communicate that. Sometimes you just do something that you don't even recognize that that is a skill that you are uniquely gifted at because it just comes naturally, or you've just built the behavior. And so I think sometimes it's facts. It's also just like writing down, like, what did I do today? Going back and saying, look at my GPS, look at my goals. What were my goals for the year, the prior year? What did I do? And I think sometimes that can help you get right with the facts of performance that have set you up for this next thing.
I love that. Something else that our circle has done that's been a huge gift for me, and I've seen us do it for each other over the last, 10 years we've all been getting together now, is also speaking truth and what we see in them to each other. And so we have an exercise that we all have done for each other called the superpower exercise. If you have a group of close friends around you, it's a really fun exercise to do. And we sat down, it actually was in Carissa's living room, and baby Cam was like, how old? He was so tiny. He was like a couple months old.
Baby.
He was so little.
I know, he was like four months old.
We all were playing past baby Cam. And we were sitting there and all of us were just in a hard season. It was just feeling really hard. And we sat down and
it was actually February of 2020.
It was right before COVID.
We didn't realize that we were just at the beginning. It was right before. It was the last time we were all together.
We actually didn't even really know hard.
And so we were in Dallas and we didn't know that. Exactly. We didn't even know that we were only at the beginning of hard.
Right? We really needed this exercise though, because we set a timer for each of us to speak what we believed the other person's superpower was in this exercise. And it was so cool because there was no filtering. The person receiving the information was not allowed to combat or disagree or put it down, right? We all took turns going around our circle and speaking what we viewed that other friend's superpower was. And everybody in the room contributed to each person. And then I sat there and typed as fast as my little tiny fingers could go to take notes. And it was really amazing. Like, I know when I looked back at mine and I've pulled and drawn on mine during hard seasons, that some of the superpowers that you guys saw were strengths that I didn't even realize I had. Because to your point that you just said a minute ago, I did them so effortlessly and unconsciously that I didn't even realize that they were a strength. And it's really helped me in harnessing my own inner power and getting factual with my own strengths, because it was something that somebody else saw in me and validated in me. It wasn't something that I had to convince myself I had. And so that I really appreciated when we did that exercise too. It was a really, really good one. So if you have a good set of friends or a good set of coworkers in your life, it might be a good exercise to sit down and dedicate an hour to do to help maybe someone who's feeling a little bit of imposter syndrome right now.
Yeah, I love that. And you can be the catalyst. Yeah. Like, I think, say, one of your superpowers is the ability to both be engaged in a conversation in a meaningful way, but also capture it and memorialize it. Because I think it is, it's been one of the best gifts of our circle to have this. I like walk by it every morning, and some mornings I need it. Like, I got to pause and be like, okay, girl, you got this. So I think it's so good.
Love that.
Yeah, so good. Well, the second one is being able to share your feelings, right? So if you're not trusting the facts, as they said, enlist other people. Because when you share those, when you share the imposter feelings, not only can it reduce loneliness, it actually opens that authenticity, that vulnerability opens the door for others to share not only what they see in you, but also just knowing that you're not alone in feeling that way. I think that has been one of the most powerful things of giving voice and a name to this, is that once you start to describe it, it's like, I don't deserve to be in this big room, right? And yet, you do deserve it. And it creates a space for other people to be like, oh my goodness, I've felt that way at different times too. And then speak the power to you of why you actually 100% deserve not only that room, but all the other rooms in front of you.
I love that. And that really was how we all started to get together, was we realized that if we didn't start owning our feelings and jumping into the room despite feeling scared, nervous, timid, undeserving, if we didn't start jumping up to accept those roles and to put our name in the hat, nobody else is going to do it. And so I think owning those feelings and doing it anyways is a really powerful thing, a really powerful thing. And we get to see all the people we get to bring along with us to create opportunity for, which is awesome.
Yeah. Like shame doesn't survive in the light.
Yeah.
So when you don't feel like you deserve something, by shining a light on it, like it can't actually survive there. So the second you verbalize it and name it, you have literally, that's the first step in moving past it. So like we create that, and certainly in our Her Best Life community, which we have our amazing conference coming up in just a couple of months in Miami. So if you're looking for that, you should check us out, right? Herbestlife.com/events, because it really is, if you need that circle and you don't have it, that's the room you need to be in. And we'll help you get it. Support you in making it happen.
Yeah, we'll help you get your circle.
Yeah, we'll help you get it.
That's right. I love that. Number three is celebrate your successes. And it sounds so simple in theory, but actually high achievers often put so much energy into the goal or getting to the achievement that oftentimes at the end, it's a feeling and a sense of relief that you have arrived, not necessarily a feeling of achievement and success. Because oftentimes high achievers are on to the next goal. And so they're moving on to the next thing and they're not taking a step. And I know that I'm certainly guilty of this. They're not taking a step back and saying, wow, look at how far we've come, or wow, look at all these things we just accomplished. And a couple of areas that I've really had to grow in as a leader with this is to take time to slow down to celebrate those achievements. And like we have a new director of sales. She's about 65, 70 days in now, doing a really good job. One of her goals is hiring. And she is behind on the hiring goal, but ahead on the interviewing goal. So what she's doing is she's leveled up the people that she's interviewing and making sure that the people she's hiring are the candidates and the avatar that we want. And so she came into our one-to-one meeting this week and was like, I'm behind on my goal. We haven't hired as many people as we want yet. And I said, yes, I see that. And I also want to celebrate the fact that you have taken 16 very qualified candidates through. And although they haven't been the right candidate, you have gone through the process and you were doing the activity to get to the goal. You know, we kind of have a phrase in our team that if it's not, you know, an absolute yes, it's a no. And so she's gotten close with a couple of these people, and it's not an absolute yes, so it's been a no, but we've made it through that far. And I think we need to stop and celebrate those wins as well on the way, because we know we're going to hit the goal. It may take a little bit longer than we wanted, but the driving activity is driving us towards the goal, and we need to success, you know, to celebrate that success as well.
Hey there, Empire Builders. We have the biggest announcement. We just heard that Brianna Wiest, the brilliant mind behind The Mountain Is You and The Pivot Year, is going to be our keynote speaker and part of the VIP experience this year at Her Best Life in sunny Miami, Florida. If you have ever read her books or heard about her, you know what an incredible experience this is going to be. We were able to negotiate a limited number of VIP tickets for a more intimate experience with Brianna, but there's only a few available. So go on over to herbestlife.com/events to secure your VIP ticket today. Hope to see you there.
A 100%. I love that. I think, you know, we're coming up at the midway point of the year. And this is a lot of times when, you know, we're looking at all that we didn't accomplish, right? And so that can, as a leader, right, if you're leading your team, you're leading yourself, that can feel like, oh my goodness, we said we were going to do all these things. And I think just flipping it and making sure you do need to understand how you're going to close the gap if you're off from the goals that you've set for yourself. But say, I think what you're saying, those 16 completed interviews, like what did you accomplish? So that you're just level setting. Mm-hmm. It's back to knowing the facts, right? Yes, there might be a fact that you might be at a gap from the goal you set for yourself at mid-year. And there are things that you did accomplish and where might you need to double down or might just need to be like, oh, right, I didn't do that, but I did do all these other things. And sometimes that helps us as we go forward.
The one thing I was just going to add to that real quick too is like creating a system around having a way to reflect. And this is something that I think each of us have done in our own way, where when somebody sends you positive feedback or a great testimonial or sends you a text or an audio recording where you've impacted them or made a difference, if that's one of your love languages, I think saving like a little either folder or like, I know Wendy literally has a folder of thank you notes that have been given to her. I have an album on my phone. People have sent me things, and it basically is just your data reserve of when you're having trouble or having a hard time. It gives you something to draw on to fill up your cup so that you can have the grit to keep going. And those successes are great to kind of mark so that you can go back and see the accomplishment that you've made.
It's such a good tactic. You could do it right now. Look back, because just having that is a good way in a moment when you're like, oh my goodness, this was rough. Or like say you're saying you're leaning into some really heavy conversations. Taking a look at that before you jump on the phone is like that extra, just like, you got this, that sometimes just helps shift energy and confidence.
I love that.
All right. So number four is let go of perfectionism. And I know this has been one for me that has been one of the biggest opportunities in this season of my life to acknowledge that that is actually
the
idea.
I can vouch for that for you. Yes. This has been a growth area for you for sure. You're doing so well.
It has been a growth area. Yes. But it is that world of like, it has to like look good, be right before you can do anything. Right. And so it's like, get ready, get ready, get ready. And I think it's held me back, right, from a lot of things, because it's like progress over perfection in all things. And so you don't have to necessarily lower the bar of what you expect, right? Not having those high standards, but just adjusting that. It can make it easier and allow you to really internalize and accept the accomplishments and success and then level set for moving forward. I know for me, even this idea of like fail forward faster, like this idea of failure, I think is in high conflict with perfectionism. And what you realize is high achievers are only like, in many ways, right, one of their biggest superpowers is the willingness to like put themselves out there, fail, get back up and keep going. And I think letting go of that perfectionism is a huge part of that.
I love that. And it rolls us actually right into number five with that too. When you're dealing with the perfectionism, part of that is to really cultivate self-compassion. And as a high achiever, I know like the first thing I do when I get done teaching a class or having a client presentation or even recording, right? The first thing that I always think is, what could I have done better? That's like always my first MO. It's not what did we do well? It's what could I have done better? And I think slowing down to say, okay, what did we do really well in there that we want to keep doing? What could we have done better? Yes, absolutely should be a part of that. But I definitely think that there's an element of self-compassion where we need to own the things we're doing really well. And I also think just self-compassion is really like using mindfulness to shift from that external focus of your self-worth on being results or goal-oriented to an internal one of who you are and how you show up as a person, and really watching all of our co-hosts and all of our founders of Her Best Life really lean into that internal identity over the last 5-10 years instead of the external, right? Like I sell this many houses and I've won these awards and I've been named best in Dallas and NAR's 30 under 30, right?
Best
and
all,
my mom loves me, you know, but it's, it's all the ego and the awards. And really at the end of the day, like none of that's going on your tombstone. None of that's going in your obituary. And so really kind of like getting to the internal of who am I? How do I show up as a person, right? I am a loving and present mom. I'm a kind and caring friend who really deeply cares about following up. Like I want to leave the world in a better place. Like I love helping others. Like who am I and how do I show up as a human? I think personally for me in the self-compassion area has allowed us to revisit our mission for our companies. We've changed our mission for Her Best Life after this too. And so I think it really allows you to dig internal to really set your own identity, which creates a different level of confidence, because winning or losing in the business world all of a sudden is not tied to the identity of who you are. And I think pulling those two apart really allows you to move through, like you were saying, Kimber, the failures and the need to be perfect and have the perfect presentation and look good and be right all the time. If it's not perfect, it's not identifying with your self-worth. And I think pulling those two apart to have the business can have its own identity and I can have my own identity, and they are not absolutely the same. They can play in the same sandbox, but they are not the same thing, allows you to fail forward better. I think it allows you to have more self-compassion and grace when you do fail, to get up and learn the lessons and move it forward.
And that really takes us into the next one, right? Because we're talking a lot about like that self-compassion around the failures and being able to share them, which I think is really a critical element too, to just sort of bust through the perfectionism. And I think so often I have an amazing leader that I have an opportunity to work with in the Maryland region named Katrina. Mm. And Katrina talks a lot about people often, we want to share the failure when we're on the other side of it, right? Yes. Like we're going to share that I was in this storm and things were a mess and then it's all bright and sunny. And then I'm going to share my testimony, my story, right? It was such an aha for me when she said that, because it's so true. Like, right, that we often either don't feel valid, we are in the storm of it. And I think that there's something very powerful for you and for the rest of the world who you're sharing that with, to actually share when you're in the journey and where you are and what's still hard. And I think what I'm realizing in leadership and having an opportunity to be in business with you guys and this amazing group of women is that even when we might be on top in one area, we likely are struggling with something in another area. And when we share that, it gives gift, it gives voice, it gives power to just saying like, you know what? Yeah, this might look good right now, but one, it's a mess over here. And that's often what happens, right? When we focus on the business and that's amazing, then maybe our health is out of balance or maybe our family gets out of balance. I think sharing that, it's just so powerful.
I love that. And I think that's a huge gift with us all doing the podcast together, that we had a commitment when we started to, we were always going to be transparent and vulnerable, right? We were going to make sure that we were coming to the table with authenticity. And I remember when we first started working on this, I thought, oh, we're working on this because we're valid and we're awesome and we know what we're doing and we're so great. And then like, I know personally for me, it was like your team falls apart, then COVID, then your dad's health fails, like all in the first 3 years of the podcast. And I remember being like, I thought I was coming on here to record like how cool I am. But actually, I feel like my role for a long period of time on our podcast, which is not my favorite position to be in, but it was really like I just was in deep failure in a major part of my life in some way, shape, or form, like for the first 3 years of our podcast. It was just a season of extreme hard. And I couldn't lie about it because we had promised to be vulnerable and transparent. And it was so uncomfortable because I just wanted to be nailing it in these areas of my life. And I just wasn't. And I think it allowed me to learn to be brave in doing things even when they're hard and doing things even when they're uncomfortable. And you guys really are listeners and you all gave me such grace and compassion to fail through that and to grow on the other side. And it's a lot sunnier over here now, but sharing it in the hard, I think, was probably one of the toughest things I did in the last 3 years, of just like having to admit constantly of like not nailing it on a regular basis. Well,
and you are. I mean, you are incredibly brave, because I think, you know, that is such a model for someone like me. Like, I think one of the reasons I didn't do the podcast was because I was not ready to stand in vulnerability and to stand in authenticity. Like, I was not in the place where I can even acknowledge that perfectionism was holding me back from relationships. It was holding me back from a lot of things that I wanted. And so watching and, you know, having people like you in my life who are brave and stand in it and say, yeah, this is hard and I got it.
I love you. And you are brave and you modeled so many amazing things. I think you were doing it, but sharing, it's a different story, right? Like, you were doing the things. It just was the ability then to go and talk about it and put it out there, I think, is the extra part, because you were also walking through a lot of the hard all at the same time. So it's just that next phase of then being willing to share it. I think that's where that releasing that allows that imposter syndrome to fall away a little bit and to roll off of your shoulders, because I think all of us in life feel that at a certain level and experience it. And so it gives us all permission to kind of help carry each other through those seasons. The last one, which is perfect for this, is accepting imposter syndrome. And as you learn to work through it, you're actually gonna feel imposter syndrome less, because you're giving it an identity, a name, a purpose, a feeling, and you're failing through it and acknowledging it. And so when you accept that this is just a part of how you're gonna feel, then it doesn't get to have that voice. It doesn't get to survive in the light, because you have now acknowledged it. And so what's cool is the more you acknowledge imposter syndrome exists and it's okay to be in it and feel it, the faster you're going to roll through those seasons and waves, and the faster you're actually going to grow and receive opportunity and take it and get after it. And so I just want to give all of you permission that if you're feeling that right now, or you felt that in the recent past, it's normal. And the more you accept that it's normal, the faster you're going to get on the other side of it, and it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely going to be beautiful.
It is. And I think it shows up often in our transition points,
yeah,
either in life or in our businesses, like in the most simple terms, right? We're getting ready for graduations. If you're the valedictorian and you are at the top of the class, and then all of a sudden you go to an amazing university and there's lots of valedictorians and you are no longer at the top, yeah, of your class, like that's a transition point in our business when we start to build a team. And maybe we're an amazing and incredible solo agent, and now you're starting to build a team. You're adding leverage into your life and your business. And that's going to feel like, oh my gosh, I just need to go back.
Yes.
And sometimes there's like this pull to just go back to where we were safe and where we're comfortable. But I think one of the things that we've learned, right, and are continuing to learn, is that's actually not where the real growth and fulfillment happens. Mm-hmm. It actually happens when you're challenging yourself. It happens when you're saying, hey, I'm going to step into this space. I'm going to accept. I'm not going to maybe be the one that has all the answers, but it's actually going to be the birthplace of growth and joy and excitement and fulfillment. And ultimately being able to bring other people into that journey with you.
I don't think I could have said that better. I think that is perfect. I love it. Well, you all, if you're sitting out there in imposter syndrome feelings right now, just reach out to us. Let us know. We're all here to help you. And if you're looking for a circle that can help you move through it, I do want to personally invite you to come join us at our Her Best Life flagship event this September. And you can go to herbestlife.com to find out more information about it. But if you are craving people that see you and feel you and understand you and support you, that is the room that you need to come and join us in. And we have some exciting announcements coming around that too. So you can stay tuned for that. Thank you for joining us today. And if this episode resonated with you, please help us by leaving a 5-star review or share it with a friend. And go out there and build that big business. And more importantly, that even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Have a great week.